Good morning, church. It's good to see you all this morning. It's nice to just have people in the room. And good morning also to those watching us online as well. It's great to be able to kind of get together through any means to hear God's word today. Thanks, Dave, for the introduction. I'm Connie. I think most of you know me. I'm just privileged to be one of God's faithful servants in this church in different areas and different forms and different things. You know, God is good. But I am just so excited this morning, just the fact that our kids are missing. Our kids are here and they are involved in church. You know, it's just amazing. And, you know, because I think we got to understand, church, that there will come a time where the Moses of this generation will die out. You know, and the Joshuas will need to rise up. You know, the church has no future without children that are grounded properly in God's word, grounded properly in the things of God. You know, so we have to do all we can, you know, to invest our resources, our time, our prayer in our children, in our grandchildren, because, you know, they're the ones that would keep this mission and keep the fire burning. You know, so I just want to thank again Joe and Tim and Emma and everyone involved in youth work. And, you know who you are. You know, just sometimes it's you don't get that tap on the back and that well done that you deserve. So just keep going. Well done. God is faithful. You know, you're doing a great work. Okay, so my hour countdown starts now. I'm only joking. It wouldn't be a long talk today. So we're going to be looking at prayer. So this is the fifth preach on our When the Going Gets Tough series. And I hope you've been blessed by the other word that the other preachers have brought. You know, it's just been good. It's been nice to hear from Matt last week about taming our tongues. You know, our tongues, what we say is important. You know, we can build people up, we can tear people down by what we say. You know, so just an important message. And I just want to encourage us, you know, if we've missed any of the talks, you know, please go back. It's on our website. You know, if you want to listen again, you know, please go back and just check that out. And I pray that my words today will be the words of God and it'll bring encouragement. I just want to just encourage us with two things. You know, every Sunday, we have faithful people that bring God's word to us every Sunday. You know, we're a culture of, you know, we consume a lot. There's a lot of word, there's a lot of, you know, preaching and good word out there. But the key is, you know, what is our understanding of God's word and how are we applying it into our lives? So I just want us to really just engage this morning. Two things I pray. Every time I hear God's word, you know, Lord, help me to understand what is being said and help me to be able to apply that in my life. That's just two things. So I want to encourage us to just really engage. It's easier for us in the room to get engaged because we're here, you know, but for those especially watching from home, you know, it's easy to multitask, you know, maybe just nip out and put something in the oven or, you know, do a bit of washing up. But actually, let's just give God time and attention just to hear his heart to us, you know. That's really important. Another thing that applies to me as well is when I hear God's word being preached, sometimes I hear what the person is saying, but there's always something that the Spirit is saying to you, to me personally, that applies to us. Please, can I just encourage us, just hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Do you mean not just this morning, but every time you hear God's word? You know, Jesus says the words I speak to you are spirit and alive. Do you know what I mean? You know, just hear what God's saying to you, because that's what matters. That's the word he wants you to hear. So let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for the great privilege, Lord God, to be able to share your word with my brothers and sisters here, with my brothers and sisters at home. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God. Your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet, Lord God. Father, how can we know what to do, Lord God, without your word? How can we know your will without your word? And so, Lord, we pray that today that you help us to understand. Help us to apply, Lord God. Help us to hear what your Spirit is indeed saying to the churches right now. Help me to be clear. Help me to just speak only that which you want your people to hear, Lord God. And Father, let your name be glorified through it all. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to talk about prayer this morning. So prayer is simply communicating to God through our thoughts and words from our heart. So prayer is just, if, just to define it very simply, is just communicating to God through our thoughts and words, this prayer. And that includes worship. You know, it's great Paul and Judy just leading us in worship this morning. But when we worship and sing songs like, you know, here I am to worship, you're the light of my world. I'm here to bow down and worship you. That is prayer. Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, started off with, he taught his disciples how to pray, and he taught them saying, start with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worship, and that's also prayer. You know, so prayer is not just, you know, when we gather to pray. That's important. I'll talk about that, you know. But it's also any form of communication that we have between us and our Father in heaven. That's prayer. Someone rightly said, the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. You know, it's not that our prayers aren't answered. It's the prayers, it's the fact that we're not offering prayer to God. So instead of prayer being something that we do every day, like breathing and eating and walking and talking, you know, it's become like a, you know, a little glass covered box on the wall that says break in case of emergency, you know, and it shouldn't be so. You know, as we can see the slide come up there, you know, sometimes that's how we treat prayer. You know, it's only in a moment of crisis, it's only when things are really bad that we then resort to, Lord, help me, emergency, I need to break that glass, and it shouldn't be the case. You know, we cannot really be good Christians and not pray. I know that sounds quite harsh and hard, but that's the reality. You know, we cannot really be good Christians and not pray. Prayer is not an option. You know, it's a command. You know, for those of us that are married, you can't have a good relationship with your partner without talking to them, can you? You know, say you go for a week without talking to your partner, you know, that would impact your relationship, maybe relationship with your children, you know. So talking to them, communicating to them is key. You know, imagine going for just a day without talking to your partner. You know, something happens to that relationship. So we cannot really have good relationship with God without praying. No, communication is key to any good relationship. It's the pipeline of communication between God and his people, between God and those who love him. So my very simple message this morning to us church is, let us wake up to the importance of prayer. You know, let's wake up to praying individually. Let's wake up to praying collectively. You know, we're going to look at the text that we have for this morning from James 5:13 to 18. James 5:13 to 18. The scripture will come up on the screen. I'll just read. Is anyone there, just makes us all qualified, right? Just anyone means anyone. Anyone could be part of what is going to come next. Is anyone among you suffering, you know, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with nature like ours. He went through the same things that we went through. He had the same temptations, the same challenges that we go through. And he says, and he prayed earnestly. You know, he prayed sincerely. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. We'll talk about that. He prayed again earnestly. And the heaven gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. The effective, fervent prayer of faith of a righteous man or woman always produces a result. So we're going to explore today very quickly four characteristics of the what it means, you know, by the effective, earnest, and fervent prayer of faith that works and produces result. I like how that scripture starts off by telling us, you know, is anyone suffering? Is anyone going through anything that brings pain or discomfort or suffering? You know, the solution is let him pray. You know, the Bible won't tell us to do something if there isn't a result, if there isn't something that would come from that. So I just want us just to encourage us to be just be open as the Spirit is speaks to us. So the four things that I want us to look at from that, what does that mean practically? The first one is pray with persistence. That's the first point, you know, for those that are taking notes. So pray with persistence. You know, the fact is a lot of us give up too easily. You know, we pray once, maybe twice, and we give up too easily. You know, we give up maybe because of past disappointments. We give up maybe because we've prayed before and we haven't seen results. We give up too easily. You know, this lockdown has brought many challenges to so many people, so many trials, and pain and suffering. You know, but God is encouraging us that we have to be persistent in our prayers. You know, we have to keep praying. We have to keep seeking God. I want to just demonstrate that with another scripture from Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, which we know very well is a parable that Jesus told us to encourage us to do that, to be persistent, you know, to keep praying without ceasing. I'm just going to read that out and then I'll talk through it if that's okay. So Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. Then he, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Word himself, spoke a parable to them to explain to them the point that he's trying to make, that men and women, because actually this parable it references a woman and her, and he uses her to demonstrate the point that he's trying to make. He says, always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God, not regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? This is a word from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God can do anything that he wants. He can answer prayers instantly. But I just want us just to pause there and just reflect on that. This is the word of Jesus to us. Jesus is saying, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night, praying for the same thing day and night, crying out to God day and night. He says, though he bears long with them. I mean, it just sounds like God is delaying. It sounds like God is holding back answers. You know, Jesus is saying here, God shall avenge, God shall reward, God shall answer, God shall bring that breakthrough. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I just want to encourage us, church, let's not just pray once. You know, let's not have this attitude. It's like, oh yes, I'll pray for you. Do you know what I mean? You know, we might utter a few words and stuff, but after that, that's it. You know, we're forgotten. You know, God is encouraging us today. You know, let's pray with persistence. Let's pray with mission. Let's pray without ceasing. That's what Jesus, that parable tells us. Jesus is encouraging us. Pray without ceasing. Be consistent. Keep at it. Keep at it until you receive answers. Colossians 4:2, again, encourages us, says continue earnestly in prayer. Continue earnestly in prayer. Don't give up. Keep praying. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. That's my encouragement to us, church, that it doesn't matter what the situation is, it doesn't matter what we're going through. You know, God's word consistently encourages us to continue earnestly in prayer. Luke 11:9. So yesterday we were having our family devotion in the morning or afternoon, And we were looking at Luke 11:9, where it talks about ask and you shall receive. We know that scripture, seek, knock, and you shall, the door shall be open, seek, and you shall find. So I was going, we were going through it with the girls, and so I said to the girls, to my girls, I said, so we were reading that, we were reading that in context. It's always good to read scripture in context, right? We were reading that in context of what Jesus was saying about a man who went to visit his friend in the middle of the night to ask for bread. So I said to my daughter, I said, so what do you, if someone comes in the middle of the night, knocks on the door, say, oh, please, can you lend me some bread? Or can you give me something? What would you do? What would you say? What would be your reaction? And she said, oh, I told them, oh, to go away. It's nighttime. I'm sleeping. You know, it's late, you know. And finally, she said, what if they keep doing it? And she said, oh, I'll call the police. And after that was when I said, well, okay, but the person is your friend, you know, your trusted friend. You're not going to call the police on your friend. She's like, okay, eventually I will get up and give them what they want so that they can, to get them off my back so I can go back to sleep. And that's exactly what Jesus said. In the context of that, ask, keep asking, and you shall receive. Ask as if you can't take no for an answer. So it doesn't matter what's going on, that challenge, you know, we need healing for that loved one. We need the salvation for that loved one. You know, we're knocking on the door of heaven and we're saying, Lord, you said we can ask and we will receive. You know, Jesus, that parable, that's what Jesus is trying to emphasize to us. Keep asking. Keep asking, Lord, your word, this is what your word says. You've made provision for healing. You've made provision for church growth. You've made provision for whatever it is. You've made provision for the salvation of my loved ones. Lord God, passionately, I'm crying out to you day and night. Like that woman, I'm crying out to you day and night. Lord, bring healing. Bring whatever it is. And that's the context of Luke 11:9. Jesus saying, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened up to you. Whatever you ask, as long as you ask in line with God's will, it will be given to you. See, church, I'm not talking about long prayers because I know some of us maybe come from or have experienced the culture of long prayers. You know, I've been involved in some all-night prayer meetings, which could be fun. But, you know, God's not talking about long prayers, just for the sake of praying, just repeating words. No, there's a difference between long prayers and persistent prayers. Persistence means not giving up. You know, persistence means not giving up. Praying, you know, it doesn't have to be long. You know, you could just, Lord, today I just pray to you, Lord God, I'm going out to the shops now. I'm still praying. That's it. A couple of minutes, you come back, you know, the next day, Lord, I'm still here. I'm still seeking. I'm still asking. It doesn't have to be long prayers. It doesn't have to be hours and hours, and of you know, the Bible calls it just you know, just repeating prayers, just babbling. That's not what that means. James 5:18 says again of Elijah, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produces fruit. Why didn't the heaven give rain and produce this fruit the first time he prayed? You know, God's trying to teach us something from his word, you know, from these prophets. He prayed again. Saints, pray again. Pray for that situation. Stand. Be steadfast in your prayer. Be committed in prayer. I'm just going to move on quickly. The second point I want to bring out is pray with passion. You know, praying with passion is praying heart prayers, not head prayers. You know, no one sees the heart, right? So we can do church, we can play church, we could pray, you know, without it coming from the heart. You know, Jesus, even about worship, Jesus says, you know, this people are hypocrites. They come to me with their lips and honor me with their mouths, but their hearts are far away from me. Jesus calls that hypocrisy. You know, no one else, we can't see each other's hearts, so we can't tell the intentions, you know, what we do. But God sees. You know, we can fool everyone, but we can't fool God. God sees our hearts. God knows the intentions of our hearts. You know, the real thoughts of our hearts. We can say what we want to people, you know, we can, but he sees your hearts. He sees the secret things that you say in your hearts, you know. That's where evil comes from, what comes out from the inside. So I'm saying that to say passionate prayers are the ones where intentionally from our hearts we want to pour out to God. We want to say to God, we want to engage our souls. You know, things that are really burning in our hearts. It's okay for me to say, Lord, I'm praying for India. Or Lord, you know, I'm crying out for Israel. But actually, how much of that really comes from, Lord, you know, these are my brothers and sisters. These are human beings like me, Lord God. Father, Lord God, from our hearts with passion, Lord, do something. Bring healing, bring revival, bring wholeness. You know, God doesn't just want to hear our words. He doesn't want to hear our, see our text messages if there's no heart in it, if there's no intention, if there's no purpose. That's all hypocrisy to him. You know, people say, oh, actually, it's not my culture to be passionate. You know, we are, you know, we don't do passion and things like that. But I disagree with that, actually. You know, when you know, some of us have been to football matches or watch football on telly. You know, if you know, the same people that can shout and scream, even, you know, make noise and, you know, sing and all of that stuff with all of that passion, you know, bring them in a church setting and say, well, actually, let's lift our hands and let's dance and let's cry out and let's shout and praise and dance and praise God. It's like, oh, no, we don't do passion or we don't do expressive worship. You know, it's, doesn't, you know, God, everyone has the potential to be able to do everything that God has called us to do. If God says, lift your hands and praise, if God says, dance to him, God will not ask us to do something that he hasn't put the seed or the potential for us to do it. You know, God, in fact, God created us, everything that we have, our feelings, our passion, our hands, you know, for his purpose. That's why the Bible says, love the Lord with all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your heart. Everything, engage with God. You know, Revelations 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, all of us, every part of us, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I know that, you know, some Bible translations have taken that for thy pleasure out, you know, so you might not see in your version, but you know, reading from the King James here, it's that God created us for his pleasure. Do you see what I mean? So when we're praying, when we're crying out to God for a loved one, we're pleasing God. You know, because that's what he created us. When we're worshiping, we're pleasing God. You know, and that's why we don't look at people's faces. That's why we don't care what people say. We just do it because we're pleasing our maker. Do you see what I mean? You know, I love Celine's enthusiasm and so many other people that have challenged me, you know, that just kind of live that godly life. They're like, well, actually, I'm just going to be myself because I was created to give pleasure to God. So don't make excuses for anyone. Don't let anyone, you know, stop you from being who you are as long as you're giving God glory, because he created all of us for his pleasure, for his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. So can I encourage us, can we be passionate about our prayer? Let's not take it, you know, very simply. Let's just ask God. If that passion is not there, we can pray, Lord, just help me to be passionate. You know, Jesus, he went up to the mountain and he prayed all night. That's an example of passionate prayer. Lord, you know, I even though I know that you've, you know, the 12 people that you're going to, I want to pray for them. I wonder, Lord Jesus, why did he have to pray all night? Were you praying to find out or to know God's will about who the 12 are? But I think there's more than that. I think he wasn't just praying to know who the 12 will be, but I think he was praying into their lives. Lord God, I'll just start with Matthew. I want to pray for him. I want to pray for his family. When I'm gone, I just want to pray for all the things that he has to do. You know, Luke and John, and he's praying into their lives. He's praying into their destinies. He's praying into their purpose. He's praying into everything that has to do with it. That's the only reason why he'll be praying all night before he went and chose his disciples. Praying with passion, praying with purpose, you know, praying for direction, you know, and just praying that God would bring about his will and his purposes. James 5:16 that we read earlier, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Is that our prayer? Is that, would we say our prayers are fervent? Would we say, you know, our prayers are effective? My prayer is that God would just open our eyes and give us and give me even more passion for prayer, and give me even more passion for prayer, and give us as a church, as his people, more passion for prayer. This, the best thing that you can do for someone, you know, you can give someone £1 million. We can do bags of food. You know, people can take that, and that's good. That's, the Bible commands us to do that. You know, but prayer is so important. Prayer can do far more. You know, before the lockdown, when I used to go into Bronzeville, you know, when I talked to the women, you know, I said to them, you know, you're not helpless. You can do more. Probably do much more in this place than you can do when you're out. You can pray. You have the time. Pray for your children. Do you know what I mean? You know, you don't know who is looking after them. You don't know what they're doing. But the enemy's distraction is to keep you worrying, is to keep you anxious. No, pray. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. So you have a tool, you have a weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Pray. I encourage them. You have a tool. Pray for them. You don't know what God can do. Do you know what I mean? God works. God sends people to them. God talks to God does things in your life. You can pray. You can pray for them. Just keep loving them by praying from where you are. That's one thing the enemy cannot steal from the church. That's one thing the enemy should not steal from the church. Our ability to pray and pray right. The third point I want to make is pray with thankfulness. The early church were encouraged to give thanks, to worship God, to praise him as part of their prayers. And we should do too. You know, I'm encouraged that in our prayer meetings, you know, when different people lead it, we always have we always start off with prayers. You know, we either have a song or we have a psalm that we read to encourage us to give thanks. Give thanks and praise God for what he has done. Give thanks and praise God that we can pray. Give thanks and praise God that we have a God that hears and that can answer prayers. You know, be thankful. There's always something to thank God for his grace, for his love, for his mercy, for his abundant faithfulness. It's always good to show honor and adoration and acknowledgement for our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. You know, people that are truly, truly thankful really don't have much to complain about. Show me someone that complains and moans all the time, and then I can tell you they're not thankful people. They're not grateful people. You know, the Lord modeled the model prayer that our Lord taught us. He said, actually, guys, before you start asking for your daily bread, before you start asking God not to lead you into temptation, before you start asking for all of this stuff, start with, hallowed be thy name, our Father in heaven. Worship, thanking you, our Father in heaven. Just for a moment, let's just pause and just hear what Jesus is saying. Acknowledge that you have a Father in heaven. Acknowledge that you have a Father in heaven that cares. Before we bring anything to him, you know, we should offer our praise and our thanks to God. Paul encourages the Philippians. He tells them, do not be anxious about anything. Philippians 4:6, it says, but in everything we should pray, giving thanks as we make our petitions known to God. In everything, as we pray, we should give thanks to God. Worship expresses gratitude to God for his faithfulness. It articulates dependence on God, our source and creator. It demonstrates relationship with God, thanking him for who he is and what he has done for us in the past. It communicates gratitude to God. It generates humility towards God. And finally, the final point that I've got here, pray making intercessions for others. Praying for others. I don't know, this is probably something that's dear to my heart. This is something that, you know, I can probably talk about for hours. But it's so important to pray. The reason I am passionate about prayer, I encourage people to pray, you know, is sorry, how do I say this? You know, before I became a Christian, not because before I became a Christian, I was brought up in a Christian home, but before I had a heart conversion to the Lord, I knew that there were dear people praying for me. You know, my mum, my dad, there were dear people standing in the gap and saying, oh Lord, please, save his soul. When I was out there in the world, in the nightclubs and, you know, doing all sorts at university, you know, there were people praying for me. You know, and as a result, I realized the importance and the responsibility we have as believers to pray for others. You know, several times Sylvia has come up and just like such a blessing. It's like, oh, I'm praying for you. You know, this is how you bless me. You know, people pray, you know, just her encouragement, just how she models that, you know, not just for me, for so many, we can all testify to that in the church, you know, just her prayer, you know, faithful, you know, women that just kind of just stand in the gap and pressing and praying. I just want to encourage you. That is good. One of the best things that we can do for people. Intercessory prayer is basically praying for others. It's praying for God's will to be done in the lives of others. When we say, Lord, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we're praying for others. Do you see someone in need? Pray. You know, the Bible even encourages us to pray for our enemies. You know, those that hurt us, those that say things about us, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray that God will touch their hearts, heal their soul, you know, and bring them back to a place of relationship or whatever, but just pray for them. Pray for others in a way praying for others is a way we express our love for each other and hence fulfill the ultimate commandment after loving God with all of our hearts, loving our neighbors as ourselves. You might not be able to influence people with what you said. You might have tried to encourage, you know, but God is saying, just don't give up on praying. Just don't give up on praying. Keep praying for others. As I said, it's great, you know, the way as a church we pray, we come together every week, you know, just the faithfulness of saints, brothers and sisters that come to do that. It's great how in this church we put prayer first. Dave praying this morning for Israel. You know, as a commissioned family, we prayed on Friday for India coming together. You know, that was beautiful. You know, so we are on the right track. So what I'm trying to say to us this morning, church, is let's keep going. Let's keep doing it. Let's not be weary in doing good. For at the right time, we shall reap a harvest. Jesus said to Simon in Luke 22:31, it says, Simon, Simon, and I just want you to just put that loved one in that space. Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked that he may sift you as wheat. But do you know what Jesus' response to Satan was? I have prayed for you. Simon, this is Satan's intention for you, to take you out. Just want to encourage us. Are we praying for our church leaders? Are we praying for our home group leaders? Or are we on the side of Satan trying to steal, kill, and destroy, assassinate people's characters? We talk about wanting to be more like Jesus. Jesus said, Simon, I say to Satan, I have prayed for you. And then he encourages him. He said, I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And says, but when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Also pray for your brethren. Also do what I have done for you for your brethren. And that's why God, I just pray. I know God's speaking to us as the word is going. I know God is highlighting things in our lives. God is saying, actually, now is the time for us to make a U-turn. Let's not be tools for the enemy to steal, to kill, and destroy. The church, God's people around us. But actually, we know the enemy's plan. But actually, just like Jesus, let's pray. Let's pray for each other. Let's support each other. Do you know what I mean? Let's pray that the faith of that brother, that sister will not fail. Let's pray. Let's encourage them. Let's lift them up. What about our communities? How often do we pray for them? How often are we passionately involved in praying for our communities, things that's going on around us? James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. It takes humility to be able to do that, to go up to someone and say, well, actually, this is my trespass. This is my weakness. This is what I need prayer for. Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's God's encouragement to us, church. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Let's not just talk about praying or promise to pray. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you, sister. How many times have we heard that? But let's be committed to prayer. Let's be part of a praying church. So I just want to encourage us, can you commit to, you know, praying? Can you commit to being, this is not just about, I'm not here to kind of promote the prayer meeting, but in a way, I am, because I'm trying to encourage us. If you're not part of it, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm just trying to encourage you that God is maybe saying, well, actually, be committed, show that you are part of his work to continue to pray and advance the kingdom of God. What are some of the excuses we have for not praying? Time. Oh, I don't have time. I have other things that I could be doing. But if you look at the number of hours that we spend on Netflix, YouTube, Facebook, WhatsApp, I could keep going. But yes, I don't have time. I can't give time. Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, the faithful three out of the 12. It's like, can you not wait with me an hour? How difficult can that be? Do you mean, so we have time to do all this? We can watch episodes, hours and hours of episodes, but yet we haven't got time to pray. Jesus said, watch and pray, saints, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Some of the temptations that we're going through, some of the things that is wrecking our society now, is because of the prayerlessness of people. Galatians 5 lists some of them. You know, sexual sins, all sorts of immorality and fornication, doing shameful things, worshipping false God, hating people, causing trouble, being jealous, angry, selfish, causing people to argue, dividing, division, all of that stuff, being filled with envy, getting drunk, having wild parties. Jesus says, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know some of the stuff that I'm saying today might come out quite harsh, but that's the intention. I don't want to ever stand here and compromise on God's word. I want to say, as Jesus said to us, because for me, you know, his words are spirit and his words are life. The best thing anyone can do to me is say truth to me in love and just allow the spirit to work and bring about his will and his desires. And that's my plan. That's my intention. Could it be that the things that we see happening around us, it's because the church is not praying? Can I be bold to say that? I know there are things that are happening because of what the Bible tells us are last day prophecies, because we're in the last days. I know that. But outside of that, could it be that all of the things that's going on all around us, the evil, you know, young people, self-identity, you know, self-harm and suicide, could it be that all of those things are happening because the church is not praying? You know, it's a scripture that we know very well and we quote very well, 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. I just want to just challenge us with that. I'm just going to read it slowly and just let you just kind of think whether you have a part to play in that. Sorry, I haven't got it on the slides, but I'll just read it. It says, if I, God, this is God speaking, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I, God, command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, perhaps like COVID, if my people you and I, in this generation, in this time, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves in praying, in fasting, in seeking God, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways. God says, then I will hear. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Are we playing our part? Now, seriously, church, are we playing our part? If my people, or are we spending time in doing everything else but the right thing? So as I conclude today, I just want to just remind us of those four points again. It'll come up on the slide. Church, let's be serious. The days are short. We're living in the last days. Let's pray with persistence. Let's pray with passion. Let's pray with thankfulness. Let's pray for others. Let's make intercession from others. Before I finish with prayer, I just want to read to us a very famous classic hymn, you know, that we all love and we sing and we know very well. But I just want us to just reflect on the words of that hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptation? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there. Friends, we can take all our cares. We can cast all our cares to Jesus, to our Lord, our Savior, because he cares for us. So let's rise to the challenge, church. Hear my heart this morning. Let's commit to pray again. Let's get back to the main thing. Let's get back to what God's calling us to do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God. Father, Lord God, you've asked us, Lord God, to let our light shine, Lord God. You've asked us, Lord, to be salt in this earth. Lord God, with every breath that we have, as your people, we want to play our part, Lord. So you've encouraged us with your word this morning, Lord God. We pray, Spirit of the living God, remind us of your word. Encourage us. Help us to understand and apply, Lord God. Come, Lord God, and touch us and change us. And make us all that you want us to be. Lord God, we are sorry indeed, Lord God, for where we haven't prayed. Lord God, for where we haven't stood in the gap for the love for that loved one, Lord God. For where we have stopped being persistent and stopped praying and giving up too easily. For, Lord God, for where we have prayed without engaging our hearts, Lord God. We're sorry. We're sorry, Lord God. And today, Lord God, we want to come back to you. And we ask that your spirit that prays, that bears witness with our spirit, that your spirit will lead us and guide us as we do the things that you're calling us to do in the area of prayer. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for speaking to me today. Thank you for speaking to brothers and sisters, Lord God. Lord God, bless them, Lord God. We pray your blessing upon us and let your name truly be glorified, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.